Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for another opportunity to come tonight. Lord, we pray right now as those who are listening in that they will be encouraged, that they will be enlightened, and that they will be edified by the effectual working of the Holy Spirit and your word tonight. We thank you for the gospel, and that is that Jesus Christ died. He was buried, and he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. And if anyone listening right now and they heard those words, heard that scripture, my brothers and sisters, and if they believe it and put their faith in it, he who knew no sin became sin for us. For the Bible said the wage of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. We thank God for the gospel. We thank you for this opportunity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. My brothers and sisters, tonight, we're going to get right in with our scriptures. 2 Corinthians 6:14-18, Paul said, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what concord or agreement has Christ with Belial?" That's Satan. "Or what part has he that believeth with an infidel?" My brothers and sisters, so we're going to get right into these scriptures right here. And it's the word of God saying to many Christians, just like Paul said to the Galatians, is it saying, "Oh, foolish Christians, who has bewitched you?" In other words, cast a spell on you. What fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness, my brothers and sisters? And what communion has light with darkness? Now, before we get started tonight, Galatians 4:16, Paul penned down, "Am I therefore become your enemy? Because I tell you the truth," my brothers and sisters. As we study this message, the questions are, can we handle the truth? And are we willing to stand on the word of truth and walk in it and live by it? My brothers and sisters, it's the word of God saying to many Christians, "Oh, foolish Christians, who has bewitched you? For what fellowship righteousness have with unrighteousness? And what communion has light with darkness?" My brothers and sisters, Apostle Paul is not saying isolate ourselves from unbelievers, because we would have to go out of the world to do that. We couldn't present the gospel of the grace of God to them. It's God's will that all men be saved and come unto the knowledge of truth. We have been given the ministry of reconciliation. Paul didn't want to pull out of the world. I mean, he was in the middle of everything. He was in the middle of every crowd there was. He was like Jesus. He created crowds. He went there. He went where the sinners were for the purpose of evangelism. Look what Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9:19-23. He said, "For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself a servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain again them that are under the law. And to them are without the law, as without the law, being not without the law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without the law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. And I made all things to all men, that I might by all men save some. And this is what I do for the gospel's sake." You see that? "For the gospel's sake, that I might be partakers thereof with you." And he says, verse 20, "To the Jews I became as Jews, that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law. And those without the law, Gentiles, he became as without the law, though not being without the law of God, under the law of Christ." My brothers and sisters, Paul got right. So look, Paul didn't leave the world. He didn't run from it. He got right in the middle of it for the purpose of leading people to the knowledge of Christ by way of the gospel, the grace of God. My brothers and sisters, he's not calling for isolation. There is no place for isolation from believers. If God wanted us isolated from unbelievers, he would have saved us and instantly catapulted us into heaven. He's not calling for isolation. In fact, we are mandated to intersect with unsaved all the time. We all must begin by considering where we are in our spiritual walk with Jesus Christ. We don't want to worship anything at the altar of the unknown God. Apostle Paul never compromised the gospel of the grace of God, and he never joined in the doctrines of devils. Acts 17, if you read those, my brothers and sisters, now Paul's 16, verse 16, 22-23. "Now while Paul waited for them at Athens. His spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found the altar with the inscription to the unknown God, whom therefore you ignorantly worship, him I declare unto you. Paul said, I noticed your devotion and how you spent your time, and in watching, you are worshiping at an altar of an unknown God. Paul had evidently spent some time studying the religion of Athens, and he used that knowledge to present the gospel in the best way possible. But what Paul thought about this religious culture is enlightened. Verse 16 reveals that Paul was provoked by the culture he saw in Athens. He did not adopt their culture. He did not approve of their culture. He despised it. Furthermore, Paul did not try to garner respect by respecting positively about their beliefs. Paul was accusing his audience of being ignorant in their religious belief. In fact, he implies their ignorance again in verse 30 of Acts 17 and says that God commands them to repent of it. Have a change of mind, turn and walk away from these doctrines of devils and idolatry. Much of what we know about idolatry is when we take an ignorant approach to something, before you know it, you've been deceived, hoodwinked, not even realizing. That's how Satan works. One common thought concerning these man-made organizations, that there can be anything wrong with them spiritually because they are founded upon Christian principles. I'm talking about these fraternities, these sororities, and all these other religious organizations. But are they in fact based on that, on Christ, the foundation? Do they sing songs of praise to Christ or to these fraternities, sororities, and religious gods that they give their praise and honor to? We should gain understanding of everything that we are doing, connected to, involved with, and pursuing. If you're going to nightclubs, where usually unbelievers are, what are you going there for? I said these places are usually filled with unbelievers, but many times, many of these clubs, they're sprinkled with a few saints, a few pastors and their wives, a lot of Christian young people. You see some deacons and their wives up in there, a few preachers and some teachers and choir members in the body of Christ. And sometimes there might be more Christians in the place than sinners. Many Christians are going to all types of strip clubs, throwing their money up on the stage and engaging in all types of behaviors in this present evil world and just having a good time with darkness. These things bring us to God's word where Apostle Paul said that many saints are going to turn their ears away from the truth in the last days of the dispensation of grace. Are you going into these dark places in the world, these clubs and all these other playgrounds of Satan, to witness and preach the gospel of the grace of God? Are you going to do what, my brothers and sisters, what a majority of what everybody else is going there to do, and that is to party, as they say, and have a good time in Satan's playground while they're on their way to hell in the lake of fire? If we engage in these types of activities, we are obtaining our testimony for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and bringing shame to his name. I know. I've been there. This was once my lifestyle as a saint in the body of Christ. Titus 3:3, for we ourselves also were sometime what? Foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. There was a time when we Christians were foolish, dead in trespass and sin. We believed that we had to work our way to heaven to make up for all the wrong we had done. We were doing whatever we wanted, not what Father God wanted. But look what happened. But after the kindness and love of God our Savior towards man appeared, not by the works of righteousness, this Titus 3, 4 through 7, which he have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of the regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs to the hope of eternal life. By the grace of God, he saved us. When we put our faith in the gospel, the grace of God. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, we are saved not by how well we act or perform, because we're all guilty of God's righteous standards. Instead, we're saved by what Christ did and performed on our behalf. my brothers and sisters, if you're not going to these places of darkness, Satan's playground, the witness to the lost, what are you going there for? We as Christians can still effectively share the message of Jesus Christ to sororities, fraternities, and these religious organizations would not become in them. Jesus never became like the Pharisees, nor did Paul involve himself with Greek pagan worship, but they were still able to share their message. Some say that belonging to these organizations that's not a God is not that serious. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not of your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God. We as Christians are not our own. Rather, we were bought with a price by the blood of Jesus Christ. Furthermore, how can we give something away that is not even ours? How can we attach ourselves to the works of darkness? Christ bought our whole being on that cross, and we belong to him. Our identity is in him. We have a Bible, which is our standard for life, and how should we live and conduct ourselves as ambassadors for Christ? For our learning tonight, Psalms 1, which is to the Israelites, dealing with the heart and the walk of the saint. But as we as saints in the body of Christ, we can be enlightened and edified from this passage of Scripture. Psalms 1:1-3, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law does he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth his fruit in season. His leaf shall also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Notice the progression, walking, then standing, then sitting. It's like if you hear someone on the street loudly proclaiming something. At first, people may intend to just walk past that person. Then people stop and stand and listen and hear a little bit more. Then people take a seat and they listen carefully. And now they got you. And God is warning us in the body of Christ to take caution. If that speaker, whoever it may be, is not speaking our doctrine for us today in the dispensation of grace, don't let yourself become caught up in his words. That's how Satan seduced many with his enticing and deceptive words, and many are soon caught up in doctrines of devils and false teaching. God wants us to turn and run away from those things, lest you be entangled up in them. Many times we may use the statement that saints will lose out on rewards at the judgment seat of Christ for yoking together with unbelievers. But all my brothers and sisters, yoking together with unbelievers is such much more serious than just losing out on rewards. Satan's ultimate goal can easily be achieved, which is to produce doctrine corruption in the mind of the believers by having Satan's winds of doctrine and doctrines of devils accepted for the truth. First of all, when we just say saints are going to lose out on rewards, that is more serious than saints losing out. This right here, being yoked together with unbelievers on reward, that's going to be the majority of saints at the judgment seat of Christ. That's the majority is going to lose out on rewards. Because most have gotten saved, and now they have eternal life, and they done just sat down. They are not workmen. They have not been a workman that needed not to be ashamed. Even though believers would lose out on the rewards, they still have eternal life in heaven. But all that unbeliever is on his way to hell and the lake of fire. You have a believer right there being a stumbling block when you yoke together with them in their darkness. To that sinner man and woman, a stumbling block refers to something or someone who keeps another from a relationship with God. What is God's will? God's will is that 1 Timothy 2:4 says, who will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of truth. That's why it's more serious than just losing out on rewards. How can a Christian be a light to an unbeliever? And you are tied up, attached, and joined together with an unbeliever in their world of darkness. You know what that unbeliever is saying? Hey, look here. That's a Christian who say they serve the God of the Holy Bible. and has been saved by putting their faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they have joined our organization that believe in God, G-O-D-S, small g, and do not believe that Jesus is the Son of God. They have joined our organization. When you join that organization, Satan just welcomes you into his world of darkness. Look at what Paul says, 1 Timothy 1:15. This is a faithful saying and word of all exceptions, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. We should be a light in a dark world. You don't want no one. God don't want no one going on to hell in the lake of fire. We should be a light. Philippians 2:14 says, do all things without murmuring and disputing, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the Son of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. We ought to be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke. Instead of behaving like mature sons of God, there's often childishness in our lives. This should not be. Without rebuke means not worthy of being faulted or discredited. That is, no one has ground for calling us hypocrites. In other words, we practice what we preach. We claim to be God's children. We act like God's children. We say we are saints. We behave like saints in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. The life of Jesus Christ to be lived in and through us as saints as we function in this present evil world. Galatians 1:4, among whom ye shine as lights in the world in the midst of an unbelieving masses. We Christians, we shine so we stick out in this lost and dying world. We are lighthouses, guiding souls away from danger and destruction with the ministry of reconciliation in the gospel of the grace of God. Ephesians 5:7 said, let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. But look what Paul said, be ye not therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometime darkness, but now you are light in the world. My brothers and sisters, you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. He said, be ye not partakers with them. In other words, with the children of disobedience. For ye were sometime darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Being unequally yoked together with unbelievers will lead to more ungodliness. And ungodliness is an issue of not thinking like God does, not doing things God's way, and not laboring with God at what he's doing. Ungodliness, therefore, can afflict God's own people through neglect of the scriptures, improper, dishonest Bible handling, heeding false teachings, following traditions and the commandments of men. And like saints can be ungodly, those who yoke together with unbelievers are failing to think like God does and do things God's way and labor with him and what he's doing. And this is possible not only in God's program with Israel, but also with us in the dispensation of grace. In truth, the potential for God's people to be ungodly has actually increased since God suspended his program with Israel and brought in this present dispensation of grace. And the adversary knows it. Our minds, therefore, are to be renewed by the effectual working of the written word of God, just as Paul said, for example, in Romans 12:2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. With the renewing of our mind, the Holy Spirit, it takes that authoritative word, written word of God to us and educate us, particularly in the knowledge of what God values and esteems. Our thinking, along with the norms and standards of our conscience, are adjusted by the authority of the written word of God to us and brought us into conformity with it. We then are able to think like God and do things God's way and labor with God as what he's doing. As such, therefore, we ought to operate solely upon authoritative knowledge of what God says right, what he says truth, and what he says he's doing and the like. My brothers and sisters, when something seduces, it usually persuades by appealing to the senses. It entices by making making an impression upon one's eyes, feelings, and desires. When Satan seduces, he does the same thing. This psalm begins by describing a man who is blessed. He doesn't keep company with bad crowds. 1 Corinthians 15:33, be ye not deceived, evil communication corrupt good manners. It's easy to assume that since we have trusted Christ and are eternally secure in him, we are immune from Satan's lies program. Yet we can be quick to suppose that no one can trick us because we have the Holy Bible in our possession. 1 Corinthians 15:30 said that if we think others cannot deceive or corrupt us, we are in fact deceived. For example, we can hear sound Bible doctrine, but fail to keep it in memory or fail to use it by faith. People can come along with incorrect information, confuse or distract us. This happened in Corinth. My brothers and sisters, in other words, do not be misled to believe that Satan's evil world system cannot contaminate you by the word or deed. Christian friends, always be on guard concerning those with whom you associate yourself. Those not led by the Spirit of God can and will corrupt you. Proverbs chapter 22 provides us with a very simple example and cross-reference to evil communications, corrupt good morals. Good manners or good morals. Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou should not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. While we are always responsible for making our own choices, others can influence us to participate in their sin. They can persuade us to adopt their beliefs or entice us to repeat their actions. This was the Corinthians' problem in 1 Corinthians when Paul is pinning this down. They had been fooled into thinking their companionship, the company they keep, made no difference. Many Christians believe this even today. It is said so casually, I can hang around with anyone no matter how they talk or act. They will not adversely affect me. I can frequent denominational churches. No one will mislead me because I know the truth. 1 Corinthians 15:33 said they are deceived. Just by assuming they would not be deceived. Furthermore, the word of God governs this blessed man's thought life, talking about this blessed man in Psalms 1. Both day and night, he thinks about what God has disclosed in his word. He thoroughly enjoys spending time in reading and pondering God's word. His devotion to scripture produces fruit in his life. Let me share with us what happens when we think like Christ, do things Christ's way, and labor with Christ and what he's doing, which is godliness. You are like that godly man described in Psalms 1. He biblically defined, blessed is that inner sense. That's what blessed is. It's that inner sense of well-being in our inner man. It's contentment and a positive outlook on life in the midst of the sufferings of this present time and the persecution that comes from living godly in Christ Jesus. It's joy. Blessedness is a calm assurance that you have put your total trust in the word of God, rightly divided. It's when you know deep down that all is well between you and God. That's what it's like to be blessed. It's what many would call happiness in Jesus Christ. It's Philippians 4:6-7, where the word of God tells us to be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Are you blessed tonight? It's the peace of God, which passes all understanding, that you keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Most of our problem in the body of Christ are caused by pursuing what we call happiness in the wrong way. The enemy has mistaken meditates mean spending time reading, studying, and thinking about what you have read. It means knowing and meditating on God's word are the first steps towards applying it to your everyday life. If you want to follow God more closely, which will bring happiness, joy, peace, contentment, spiritual growth, comfort, and peace through the Bible, then you must spend time in the Bible. God speaks through the Bible, his word. But we need to be open and receptive to him. My brothers and sisters in Christ, may I love and submit, there is a difference between walking in the Spirit and living in the Spirit. Galatians 5:16 says, this I say, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Galatians 5:25 says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Now, walking in the Spirit and living in the Spirit are not the same concept. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Galatians 2:20. The only life we have now is in Christ Jesus, in his Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Since our life is now in Jesus Christ and in his Spirit, we need to walk in that identity we have in him. This is why Galatians 5:25 says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit to us is simply walking by faith in the life we have in the Spirit of God, our life in the Spirit. The phrase, live in the Spirit, emphasizes the believer's position in Christ. But the term, walk in the Spirit, it focuses on the believer's lifestyle, the believer appropriating that identity by faith, allowing the Holy Spirit to give him power and victory over daily sin, the flesh of Galatians 5:16 that Apostle Paul is talking about, and the law of Galatians 5:18. God has given us life. My brothers and sisters, in his Holy Spirit, we live in the Spirit. We will now, by faith in Paul's epistle to us, allow that Holy Spirit to work in us and accomplish his will. Will we walk in the Spirit? My brothers and sisters, will we either walk in the Spirit or we will walk after our flesh? Legalism, that's the context of Galatians. And as you read the Bible, the effectual working of the Holy Spirit will show you his timeless truths and the application to your life. Then consider what you have read by thinking it through and meditating on it. This Holy Spirit would give you understanding, take that doctrine you have learned, and will effectually work in your inner man. Paul tells us to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. In this psalm, the children of Israel who live in parched desert climate of the Middle East is conveyed the idea of an oasis. An oasis where trees were lush and green because there was always an unlimited supply of fresh water for their roots. But Psalms 1 cut to the heart of the matter and let the children know, if Israel know what they really wanted, this thing called blessing is only come by when you know and is walking in harmony with God. Psalm 1 said, if you don't go after other gods to Israel and follow out with Jehovah God's statutes and laws and judgment, you would be as a leaf that doesn't wither. Believers, walk in godliness. Think like God does. They won't wither away under heavy loads. Those who are walking with God, they won't wither away under heavy loads of responsibility. They don't wither in the face of storms that blow into their lives. They have a divine source of courage and strength that empowers them to get up and keep going. Many of saints in the body of Christ, when you've been knocked down, but you know when you're walking with God and everything is okay between you and God, you can get up. My brothers and sisters, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abound in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. If your happiness comes from circumstances, you're in trouble because they change. The happy, joyful, at peace, and content saint is the one who can weather any storm that life brings because he lives in fellowship with God. His faith is in God and his word. Too many have bought the lie that the Bible really doesn't have the answers to life, so they don't apply themselves to learn its truth. We listen to the voice of the secular world instead of the word of God, and then we wonder why our lives are such a mess. So what is the seriousness of being yoked together with unbelievers? First, when saints are yoked together with unbelievers, that is ungodliness. The Holy Bible is God's word. When you start reading your Bible God's way, right in the divided, by the effectual working of the Holy Spirit, you will find your thinking change. You will be able to live realistically, to detect the confusion and the illusions of the world around us. The truth of the Bible leads to life, not death. Anybody who believes that truth and acts on it will become rich. Life becomes peaceful, calm, and joyful in the midst of the troubles you're going through in life. My brothers and sisters, if you want to live a productive, godly life in Christ Jesus, spending time in God's Word is a fundamental discipline. If you neglect to spend time in God's Word, you do it at your own peril. It will lead to more Christian ungodliness. My brothers and sisters, now those two sound like they shouldn't go together, don't they? Christian ungodliness. But we're going to pick up next week, right there, as we go forward with the serious implications, my brothers and sisters, when we yoke ourselves with unbelievers. God's word has a lot more to say, because we're going to talk about that turning away, and we're going to talk about those that departing from the faith. Let us pray, my brothers and sisters. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for those who are listening. We pray that they were encouraged and that they were enlightened in your Holy Scriptures tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.